Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Gurave Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namane Namaste Sarasvata Deva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacharesha Tarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, chapter 3, verse 51. Kalar dosha nide rajan asti heko mahan guna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha param vrajet. Kalar dosha nide rajan asti heko mahan gunaha kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha param vrajet. Kale, of the age of Kali, dosha nidhe, in the ocean of faults, arajan, O king, asti, there is, he, certainly, eka, one, mahan, very great, guna, good quality, kirtanat, by chanting, eva, certainly, Krishnasya, of the holy name of Krishna, Mukta Sangha, liberated from material bondage, Param, to the transcendental spiritual kingdom, Vrajet, one can go. Translation, my dear king, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Purport, after mentioning the innumerable faults of this age of Kali, Sukadeva Goswami now mentions its one brilliant aspect. Just as one powerful king can kill innumerable thieves, one brilliant spiritual quality can destroy all the contamination of this age. It is impossible to overestimate the importance of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, especially in this fallen age. So this is a verse from the 12th canto of Bhagavatam. This is the last section of the Bhagavatam. So this is the conclusion. And we all know the story of how Parikshit got cursed by the son of the Brahmana, and he was about to die. And so he called an assembly of wise persons to understand what to do at the point of death. Of course, Parikshit was already a very advanced devotee, so we assume he already knew all of this. He was very, very devoted to Krishna. But he called all these people, and they began explaining various things. So in a big assembly, there were people who were offering all sorts of various solutions based on their own philosophies. So we have innumerable philosophies because there are innumerable people in the world. And these were very advanced philosophies, so to speak, like the Saddarshanas, like logic and nyaya, whatever, Vaisheshika philosophy or impersonal philosophy of various sorts. And then finally, Sukadeva came, and he began to, he answered the questions of Parikshit to Parikshit's full satisfaction, and all because he was about to pass out of his body. So, after explaining everything, and then we come to the conclusion of the Bhagavatam here. In answer to the question, what to do when one is about to die, then, of course, the immediate answer is you think of Krishna, you worship Krishna, you chant Krishna's name, and one becomes a devotee of Krishna, etc. And what is the result? One gets the highest result. And that, of course, is mentioned here in this verse, Param Vrajet. One should go to the highest destination. Of course, it doesn't define what that is here, but it just says Param. It uses one word here to define that. But what is the method? The method is Kirtan. Not only Kirtan, but Kirtan of Krishna. Now, the immediate context, of course, is that the 12th canto is describing the different yugas and finally, of course, destruction in general. This is one of the topics of Bhagavatam, Nirodha. There's 10 topics, and the 9th topic is Nirodha, or destruction of the universe, or destruction in general. Destruction of the material body, periodic destruction of the material world at the end of the day of Brahma, destruction of everything at Pralaya, when Mahavishnu breathes in and all the universes are destroyed, and destruction of one's complete karma so that one gets out of the material world and go get liberated or go to the spiritual realm. These are all types of destruction. So in relation to that, then we have here the description of the yugas and finally Kali Yuga and all the bad things in Kali Yuga. So the first line indicates this with the ocean of faults. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, which have just been described. But in spite of that, then we have this great quality, one wonderful element which counteracts everything. Just as the purport mentions, a king is able to conquer over and control innumerable thieves. In spite of there's so many thieves there, one great king can conquer them all and control them all. So we have here the solution, Kirtan. Not only Kirtan, but Krishna Kirtan, chanting the name of Krishna. This is a solution in Kali Yuga. And what is the result? The result is twofold.
Mukta Sangha, one becomes free from all bad association, which means, of course, we have our immediate bad association in the material world. Then we have the association with the material body caused by karma. So we get rid of karma. We get rid of desire, which is the cause of karma. We get rid of avidya, ignorance, which is the cause of desire. So we're out of the material world completely. And that's the eternal state. But not only that, we get param vrajat. One gets the final result. So it's twofold, not just liberation. So this, of course, is very interesting, because actually we do have another definition of diksha, which is quite similar. So the scriptural definition of diksha is that which destroys all sins, papasya sangshayam, destruction of sin or destruction of karma, etc., like mukta sangha, to get rid of all material elements and get freedom from the material world. And then the other point of diksha is divya gyanam, bestowal of transcendental knowledge. Of course, knowledge, you can say, could be book knowledge, but it doesn't mean that, because this is a spiritual process, diksha. So ultimately it means realization, transcendental realization, which is a broad term. But ultimately for us, that means realization of Krishna, which means ultimately param vrajat. One gets the highest thing. So similar. So we have diksha giving same thing as Krishna Kirtan, which is interesting, because technically they're a little different. So that word diksha is defined as, you know, destruction of karmas and ignorance, etc., and bestowal of divyaganam, transcendental knowledge and realization, but through mantra. And there, mantra does not refer to kirtan or Hare Krishna. It refers to your diksha mantras that you get, what we call second initiation, which are not publicly sung or pronounced or whatever, or broadcast to people, which may give it to another person, and then you become the guru, diksha guru of that person, because you give him that mantra. So it's silent mantra used for japa and meditation and deity worship. So that's diksha. So that gives mukta sangha and param vrajat, and kirtan does the same thing. But here, the kirtan is emphasized, not those mantras. So this is something actually which is stated in the Bhagavatam here. And if we look closely, we'll see at the very end of the Bhagavatam, this is 12th canto, by the way, and then we go to the end of the end of the Bhagavatam, and then what do we find? The very last verse is about kirtan. Nama sankirtanam yasya sarva papa pranasanam. So very last verse of Bhagavatam is also about kirtan. And not only any kirtan, but nam kirtan. Of course, we have nam kirtan, we have guna kirtan, we have lila kirtan, we have many types of kirtan, but particularly says nam kirtan. So kirtan definitely is a very important factor in the Bhagavatam. It's repeated at the end, the very last verse of the Bhagavatam, here in the 12th canto, again in 3rd chapter, it's mentioned kirtan of Krishna. So obviously it's Krishna's name. So in this way we see that kirtan gets an emphasis in the Bhagavatam, a very great emphasis, rather than your diksha mantras or whatever like that. So that's an interesting point. If we look historically speaking, we have many different Vaishnava groups before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we have these like four sampradayas. And they don't emphasize kirtan so much. It's recognized, but not, it's not the main process for them. They don't, we say, okay, you know, kirtan's the Yuga Dharma, you know, Haribol, like that, but they don't say that. And then this becomes our main process. We see that our sadhana consists of many things, but the central part of our sadhana is chanting Hare Krishna. And we don't see that in the other sampradayas. So previous to Lord Chaitanya, We have many Vaishnavas, some of who are worshipping Krishna, but we have different sampradayas, and some worship Vishnu, some worship Krishna, like Nambarka worships Krishna, or the Vallabha sampradaya and worships Krishna, but other sampradayas worship Vishnu, but anyway, they're Vaishnavas. One of the main processes there is, of course, it's all bhakti, but it's not Nam Sankirtan. So what is it? What's their main process? Okay, they worship Krishna. So one of the processes is deity worship. They worship the deities. And to worship the deities, they need the mantras. So therefore they take diksha. And they get their deity mantras, and they perform the worship using those mantras. And so that's a pancharatrik rule. So, of course, we know that deity worship is the process, the main process in the previous yuga. And in Kali Yuga, it is Nam Sankirtan. But still, in Kali Yuga, there is deity worship, the particular deity worship which is recommended for Kali Yuga is pancharatrik worship. There's different types of worship, like Vaikanas worship is there for the deity, and we have pancharatra. These are the two main processes. So the one that is recommended for Kali Yuga is the pancharatrik deity worship, pancharatrik archana. And along with that, we get the diksha process of giving mantras for deities of Vishnu, Krishna, etc. So in this way, we have the process of deity worship going on in these different sampradayas, and we have the process of diksha going on also. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a revolutionary of sorts. He changed things. Not that he went against scripture, because we find this is Bhagavatam here, but they were doing one process, that is deity worship and diksha mantras, and chant your japa of your mantras. Etc. Meditate on the deity through your mantras. Worship the deity. This is the process of advancement. So, same result, of course. They get free of material contamination and eventually attain the supreme. Mukta Sangha Param Vrajat. Also, same. But through deity worship. And of course, in the previous age, it was all deity worship. That was the Yuga Dharma. So everybody was doing this, deity worship, etc. And get the same result. In the previous age, Treta Yuga, they were doing homas and getting the same result. In previous age, they were doing meditation and getting the same result. So same results are there, but different process. But yet, even in Kali Yuga, the other sampradayas were basically doing the deity worship. But then Lord Chaitanya came and he introduced something different. That is Nam Sankirtan. This means chanting the name of Krishna, not those secret mantras. So this was a big change. In our ILS, there was talk of, you know, how we have to innovate according to the particular time. So the time is Kali Yuga, so that we have to have different processes. So in Dwarpa Yuga, we have deity worship, and in Kali Yuga, we have kirtan. But even in Kali Yuga, I said most of the Vaishnavas are still into deity worship, the previous Yuga's process. So finally, Lord Chaitanya comes and he pushes the Yuga Dharma, finally. As Yuga Avatar, he recommends kirtan as the main process. So we see in Lord Chaitanya's life, as a child, he was, you know, scholar and arguing with nyaya, logic, etc. Then he went to Gaya, and through association with Vaishnav Guru, and he took diksha, and he got mantra, a Krishna mantra, according to the regular process. And then he came back to Navadvip, and he began kirtan movement. Not just deity worship and doing japa on your deity mantras. He began the movement of sankirtan. So he did something quite different from previous persons and previous sampradayas. And he emphasized the kirtan as the main process. But as I said, the result is the same. We get free from material contamination, and we end up with the final result. So any type of bhakti, of course, will do this. pulling the rope of a Jagannath cart. Yes, bhakti. Offering respects to the deity. Seeing the deity. They all do the same thing. They free us from material world and they lead us to prema, spiritual world, etc. So deity worship does that. And the mantras are the essence of that deity worship. And you chant those mantras into a japa, you can get the same result. And we have a very graphic example of that in the Briya Bhagavatamrita. This is the whole story of Gopu Kumar. And he began, he got a mantra from his guru. So he got diksha. And then silently he was chanting this mantra. It's Krishna mantra, 12-syllable mantra. And he was chanting this mantra. Actually, the Satan Goswami doesn't mention what the mantra was. He says 12-syllable mantra. And then in the commentary, it explains what the mantra is. But it's not revealed even when it's explained what it is because it's all coded. We can say, okay, it is, the first letter is ka or something, or second letter, but it doesn't even say that. Even the syllables are coded so that you don't know what it is unless you know mantra shastra and you know what each code means. Then it means this means a ka sound, this means a ra sound, etc. Second syllable, third syllable, like that. So even the Sanskrit is given and it's like a little code. See, it doesn't even say for normal people. They can't figure out what the mantra is. So in other words, it's a secret mantra. So he was doing japa of his secret mantra all the time like this, and he got results from that, even though his guru appeared and then disappeared. Later it's explained the guru was actually Krishna himself. But anyway, the guru came and gave him the mantra, and he began chanting the mantra, and he got higher and higher realizations through that mantra, secret mantra. So that was the diksha process. Then it's explained later on, there's a big glorification of kirtan, and to attain the final result, you have to do the kirtan, chanting of the names of the Lord. So though he begins with the whole diksha process and chanting the secret mantras, then later on, he ends up with kirtan. So this is, in other words, illustrates the fact that though kirtan is the process for Kali Yuga for all the fallen people, it is not a low process. It's not an inferior process that gives a lesser result than meditation or something like that. Sometimes people will criticize, oh, you're just chanting. But actually, the whole result of kirtan should be meditation, and then you sit down and meditate and concentrate, and you get the highest results from meditation. Yogis particularly will say that. But opposite. So Santan Goswami explains that you, as you get higher and higher realization, then instead of the mantras, you're gravitating towards kirtan. And that the highest results, that is realization of Goloka or Gokul, and a realization of the highest rasas like Madhurya Rasa or Vatsalya Rasa, whatever, it all depends on kirtan. So in other words, though kirtan is a very elementary process for everybody in Kali Yuga, as the Yuga Dharma, it also gives the highest result. So it's not just an elementary process, like something for, like ABC for elementary school students. They can do this process, but also it gives the highest results of all. And what other things cannot do, kirtan can do. It can take you to the highest levels. So therefore, it's a very exalted process, not a low process. So, very mercifully, it is given as the process in Kali Yuga. So anyway, we have this whole tradition. First, they were just doing the diksha and deity mantras and worshipping the deity. And then Lord Chaitanya came, and he got got diksha, and then he began doing kirtan. Just as Gopu Kumar got his mantra, and then later on he switched to kirtan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, rather than emphasizing the diksha mantras, he encouraged everyone to do kirtan. This is the main process. And we'll see throughout his pastimes how he was absorbed in chanting the name of the Lord. So this became the main process for the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chanting the holy name. So it is very appropriate because it has certain advantages, even though the secret mantras and this bhakti also, the name of Krishna is there. There's a different application. As I said, the deity mantras are secret, those diksha mantras. So that limits it right away. You cannot just tell everybody. Of course, Ramanuja did that. He took his diksha mantra and publicly announced it. But generally, we don't do that. It's against the rules. So it's just your private thing. Unless you want to initiate somebody, and then you're a diksha guru. And then you can have a lot of disciples that way. But it's publicly, unless they're qualified, you shouldn't do that. So there's some limitation there on the whole deity mantras and archana and diksha. Whereas the name of the Lord is unlimited. It does not require a diksha process. It does not require high qualification. And you can yell it and scream it and sing it and do whatever you want with it publicly. And it's not considered a sin. Not considered an aparad. It's not against scripture. In fact, it's encouraged. Yeah? So often we see you loudly, very loudly, you say the name of the Lord, or sing the name of the Lord, and not softly, you loudly do it. So there's no limitation of time or place or person, impure, pure, varna, sudra or mletcha or chandala can also chant and get highest results also. Whereas if you're going to get your deity of mantras, they require you to, you know, have some principles first and some pure living, etc., and whatever the qualification is there, then you can get the diksha mantras in a secret. This is free. Everybody can take, public, no secret at all. So this is an advantage in general, not only for Kali Yuga, any Yuga, but particularly for Kali Yuga, it's very good because the people are very lowly qualified in general. So we're having a Yuga Dharma. We need something that everybody can approach very easily. So the spiritual process that does that is the Nam Sankirtan, open for everyone. So this becomes the principal message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as far as method is concerned, chanting the name of Krishna. Of course, chanting the name of any name of the Lord is good, like Vishnu's thousand names, etc. But here it says Krishna's name, Krishnasya Kirtanat. So it's name of Krishna. Of course, it doesn't say name here, but if we go to the last verse, it says Nama Sankirtanam Yasya. So therefore, name of Krishna is here. Why that? Why Krishna? Why not all the other names? Yes, all names are good. But whole purpose of Bhagavatam, if we look in the first canto, when Narada gives his instructions to Veda Vyas, he says, whole purpose of this Purana should be to show that Krishna is the most attractive form of the Lord, and he should be worshipped in Kali Yuga. Yeah? So we have many forms of the Lord, but everyone should worship Krishna. How do we worship Krishna? Through kirtan. What is kirtan? Nama kirtan, not Guna kirtan, Lila kanda, but namely, mainly Nam kirtan. And whose name? Krishna's name. Because the whole point of the Bhagavatam is to have everybody worship Krishna. So therefore, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established kirtan as the process, and Nam kirtan, and Krishna's name in that kirtan. So this is unique. Every day in the in Brahma's every Brahma's day, there are 1,000 Kali Yugas, and they're doing kirtan. It doesn't specify what kirtan, they're doing kirtan. But our particular yuga, after Krishna appears, in the 28th yuga cycle of Vaivasvata Manvantara, then we have in Kali Yuga the name of Krishna being chanted. This is the benediction we get, name of Krishna, coming after Krishna, revealed through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is non-different from Krishna. So there are many forms of the Lord, like Nrsimhadeva and Rama and Varaha, etc. But the Krishna's Bhagavan Swayam, he manifests all wonderful qualities, so he's in a very special position. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also non-different from Krishna. So therefore it's very appropriate that it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who reveals Krishna to the people of Kali Yuga. rather than a form like, Nishimadev or someone like that revealing Krishna and Rasalila or something. So we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doing it because he's not different from Krishna. He understands everything about, highest rasas, and he has a great taste for it. So he reveals it. So he reveals Krishna. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu functions as the Yuga avatar in revealing Kirtan. But then it's not just regular, it's Nam Kirtan. Not only Nam Kirtan, it's Krishna's name. But then one step further, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had another goal, not just to institute Yuga Dharma like any other Kali Yuga avatar, 1,000 are there, 999 other Yuga avatars are there in one day of Brahma. So it's something special about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu since he is Krishna himself. And that, what is the other goal of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu other than Yuga Dharma? And that is, Lord Chaitanya is the Krishna with the mood of Radha. And he wants to experience the happiness of Radha. And what does he want to do also? He wants to give this experience to the people of Kali Yuga. So not only is Lord Chaitanya presenting Nam Sankirtan and Krishna to the people of Kali Yuga, he's also giving Radha and Krishna to the people of Kali Yuga. So very, very special in that way. And who can do that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's Krishna himself in the mood of Radha. So very exalted. So we call Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Mahavadanya, most compassionate, most munificent, most generous, most merciful. Why? Of course, he delivers all the fallen souls, even the aparadis like Jagai and Madai, etc. But more than that, what does he do? Why is he so merciful? He gives the highest possible thing. Krishna, and not only Krishna, but Radha and Krishna, which is the highest, highest, highest aspect of Krishna. He gives that to the fallen people of Kali Yuga, even the aparadis. That's why he's the most merciful. And even Krishna doesn't do that. So Lord Chaitanya does that. So that's his special mercy, that he gives Radha Krishna's love to the fallen people of Kali Yuga. So that also is represented in the kirtan. So we have Krishna's name, etc. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also specified a certain form of the name. Generally, Nam Kirtan means you choose any name you want and say Gopal, Govinda, Madhusudan, Hari, Haribol, etc. Any name of the Lord you can chant. And we see that, of course, Lord Chaitanya also does that. He chants different names of the Lord. But then he also gave a particular form, which has its basis in Upanishad, Kali Santana Upanishad. So we get the Hare Krishna mantra. So this is interesting because, of course, some people can take it another way, but our acharyas take it in a particular way. So we have the word Hare and Krishna. So for some people, Hare means Hari, Krishna, all attractive Krishna. And we call out to Hari, it becomes Hare. But Hare can also represent Hara. Hara is a feminine form. So with Krishna we have Radha. So Hara represents Radha. And when we call out to Radha, we say Radhe. Call out to Hara, becomes Hare. So therefore Hare indicates we're calling out to Radha. So therefore when we call out, we're doing Nam Sankirtan, but it's not just Krishna's name, it is Radha's name also. So in this way, there is some secret impetus or stimulus of Lord Chaitanya to raise us up to Madhurya Rasa by chanting Radha's and Krishna's names. So we may not know that consciously, that this is Lord Chaitanya's motive, but the name is so powerful that it has its effect. Name is so powerful that it works unconsciously even. So we see in the case of Nam Abbas and Ajamil, that Ajamil named his son Narayana, not because he liked Vishnu or anything. He wasn't a Vaishnava, and he was also very sinful, but he was simply attracted to his son. He named him Narayana, so he called the name of Narayana all the time because he loved his son. What was the result? He got free of all of his karmas. It talks here about Mukta Sangha, get free of all contamination. He got free of all of his karmas, past, present, future. Simply when he has named his son, I name you Narayana. By saying the name Narayana, all of his karmas were gone. That is the power of the name, chanted accidentally, without even devotion. Sometimes devotees think, well, I got to get initiated because my guru is going to take all my karmas away. But actually, your karma is already gone because you chanted Hare Krishna once, or hopefully more than that. But chanted the name of the Lord more than once, so all your karma should be gone already. So why worry about your karmas? And of course, karma is not the main thing we're interested in, destroying karma. If you get destruction of karmas, what do you get? Liberation. That's what we don't want. Huh? So here it says, Mukta Sangha, Param Vrajat. You get your destruction of your karmas, but you also get highest goal of all. So, therefore, the Lord Chaitanya has very mercifully given us Namasankirtan, but it is arranged in such a way that we end up with the highest result. That is realization of Radha and Krishna. So that is why we have Radha Krishna deities in our temple. So when we sing Hare Krishna, we see deities of Radha and Krishna, the same thing. Padma Purana says that the name of Krishna and Krishna himself, Nami, are Abheda. They're the same thing. So we chant the names of Radha and Krishna. It is Radha and Krishna. Completely. So very, very powerful. And even if we start out not knowing too much, as Ajamil, he didn't know anything. It wasn't had no good intentions, good or bad intentions, neutral. He got result. However, what result did Ajamil first get by that unintentional chanting, Namabhas? Destruction of karmas. So, even unconscious, accidental, impure chanting of the name of Krishna can give you that very easily. No problem. Ajamil got it. Why cannot we? So, if we got some devotion to Krishna and we're also doing Harinam but not so perfectly, yes, we can get the same thing very easily, free of karmas and sins, etc. But our real goal is not that. It's to go beyond that, beyond liberation. That is represented here by Param Vrajat. Chanting the holy name takes you beyond destruction of karma. So it gives you the highest result, which is Krishna Prema. That is what the Param will represent here. Param Vrajat. You get highest attainment, Krishna Prema. So, the name, as I said, is it's liberal, and therefore everybody can do it. Does not require initiation. And even a person like Ajamil chanted the name of Ryan, he got great effect. So that is his power. And of course, we're said not to preach to the faithless people. So how do we preach? Let them hear kirtan. And what happens? They get free of all their karmas, free of all their desires. Even unconscious hearing of it. It's a very, very great result for them. However, we don't get the final result. We get free of the karma, etc., as Ajamil got free of his karma. But then Ajamil later on, by inspiration of the Vishnu Dutas, he recovered himself, he got free of death, and then he went to Haridwar and he got association of devotees, and then he chanted purely and did pure bhakti. Then he went to Vaikuntha as a result of that. So, Namabhas is okay. You can get free of your karmas, etc. But we don't want just freedom from karmas. We want Param, the highest thing. So to do that, then we have Sudanam, chanting the name purely. So what does that mean? We have to chant understanding. Who is Krishna? Who is a devata? What is material? What is spiritual? What is impersonal? What is personal? What is Brahman? What is Bhagavan? What is material world? What is illusion, etc.? So we have to have some knowledge also. So therefore, though kirtan's for everybody, if we want to get the highest result, then we also have to have knowledge. And where do we get that knowledge from? Vaishnava. Some guru. Sorry, not Diksha Guru necessarily, but at least a guru. So at least a Shiksha Guru is necessary to chant purely, get the knowledge properly, raise ourselves up to a level where our sinful activities are restricted, etc. So, therefore, the name is very merciful and has effect on everybody, but if we want to get the highest effect, then we do have to have Vaishnava association. We have to get proper knowledge. Huh? So that is why we see that though we have, you know, kirtan, just chant, then Prabhupada also put a big stress on books. So Prabhupada was there busy translating books all the time, printing books, etc., and he stressed, you've got to read the books. Yeah? Without the knowledge, then it's like sentiment only. So we've got to have the correct understanding in order to get the proper goal. If we chant Hare Krishna, we think Krishna is a black spot. That's what we attain. Black spot or something, liberation or whatever. Huh? And if we think Krishna is just another form of Vishnu, okay, we go to Vishnu. And if we think Krishna is a wonderful form, as we have in deities, and he's the highest form, and he has the highest rasas, then that's what we get. Naman Chintamani. Whatever you want, you get out of the holy name. So if you desire different things, you get different things. If you desire the highest thing, you get the highest thing. Yeah. So that knowledge explains to us what is the highest. Okay, spiritual over material. And then in spiritual, we have Brahman, we have Paramatma, we have Bhagavan. So therefore, we should go for Bhagavan. And then Bhagavan has various forms. We have Varaha, Narsimha, and Rama, and so many other forms. And then we have Krishna. So Bhagavatam, what does it tell us? Krishna's the highest form. He's the most wonderful form, most attractive form, full of more rasa than any other form, which means ultimately means we get more happiness out of that form. So therefore, that's the type of knowledge. And then we have a process. Process is bhakti. In that, we have chanting the holy name, and not namabhas, not aparad, but sudana, pure chanting. So we chant properly with the proper knowledge, then we get the proper result. Yeah? So the whole purpose of these scriptures is to tell us that we should worship Krishna and then to explain, well, why Krishna? Why not somebody else? Well, because Krishna has wonderful qualities. What are the wonderful qualities? What are the wonderful things? So then the qualities are manifested. How? Through activities. So we have the pastimes of Krishna, particularly in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. So through those pastimes, we begin to understand the wonderful, unique qualities of Krishna, which are most wonderful and attractive. And this gives us more attraction to Krishna. So that gives a reason why Krishna, because he has all these wonderful pastimes and wonderful qualities. So where do we get all this from? Through the scriptures, through the books. And we get the books, the knowledge of the book, through gurus. So of course Prabhupada said, you have to follow Sampradaya. So we take the books of Bhagavatam, how does it come down? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inspiration, Goswami's wrote commentaries on Bhagavatam. So we have Vishnu commentary, we have Sanatana's commentary, we have Jiva's commentary. And then out of that we have Prabhupada taking his explanation of Bhagavatam also. So in this way we get the teachings coming down with no misunderstanding. So therefore, along with chanting, we do have to have our scriptural knowledge, and therefore probably put an emphasis upon the books. And this way, we're guaranteed to do the proper process, sudanam, and get the highest goal, not the second, third, fourth goal, but the highest goal of all, with the proper understanding. So, in this way, we have kirtan for everybody, but also we do have to have the proper knowledge, and then we get the proper result. So, through the process of kirtan, then, and the proper teachings, we get freedom from all the karmas and everything like that. Plus, we get that highest result, which is prema, Krishna prema, and
If we so desire, we get the highest prema, madhurya prema. So, easy process. Chanting and take the knowledge. So that is the essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. He emphasized this kirtan as the main process. So in the Bhagavatam also, he's not concocting anything. It's in the scripture itself, in the Bhagavatam. So we say, here's the one. But if you go through every canto of the Bhagavatam, first canto glorifies kirtan. Second canto glorifies kirtan. Third canto, particularly the teachings of Kapila at the end, Devahuti, glorifying name of the Lord, chanting the name of the Lord. And we go to fourth canto, fifth canto, sixth canto, seventh canto. All the cantos, 11th canto again, kirtan. 12th canto here, kirtan. Last verse, kirtan. Kirtan everywhere. And 10th canto, kirtan. Very interesting, we have the story of the gopis, you know, and the Rasa Leela. Krishna called the gopis and then played his flute. Everybody came, and then Krishna said, oh, go home. No, shouldn't be out here in the middle of the night. Not proper for brahmachari to be with young girls like this. You go home like that. But then they had a little argument, whatever. And then Krishna said, okay. But then he disappeared. After they had a little satisfaction from Krishna, then he disappeared, and they began looking for Krishna in the forest. And they went through all separation, viparamba. They were greatly pained, and they went through all sorts of ecstatic symptoms. And then finally they gave up. They couldn't go any further. It got darker and darker and darker as they went deeper in the forest, so they gave up completely. And they didn't know what to do. So then they went to the bank of the Jamuna where there was moonlight, full moonlight. And they sat down there, and what did they do? Kirtan. And when they did kirtan, then Krishna appeared. So that kirtan of the gopis brought Krishna. He couldn't control himself, and he had to reveal himself at that time. And suddenly he manifested himself before them. And so the power of kirtan is such that it reveals Krishna. And that, of course, is what Sanatana Goswami is also revealing in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita there, that even though Gopu Kumar began with the diksha and getting a secret mantra and chanting that internally, then finally, later on, it says that the process is kirtan. And to get the highest results, you have to do kirtan. And the highest, highest, highest results. So therefore, we see in the gopis, even the gopis in the spiritual world are doing kirtan as well. And that brings Krishna. So therefore, it's also the process for us. Now, we're, of course, not at that level, but we're doing sadhana of kirtan. And we do it properly, according to Parampara, with the proper knowledge, then we end up with similar result. We can also invoke Krishna on that highest level and get the highest results. So the scriptures themselves, the Bhagavatam is guaranteeing this. Of course, we can also argue, well, that's only Bhagavatam. We don't accept Bhagavatam. We accept Vedas and Upanishads. But Jiva Goswami has taken the trouble to analyze everything in Tattva Sundarbha and say that ultimately Vedas themselves said, okay, nobody can understand the Vedas and Upanishads. He wrote the Brahma Sutras. Nobody can understand the Brahma Sutras. He wrote the Puranas. And then what happens? Here we find in Bhagavatam, it's explained that Narada Muni came to Vedavyasa and said, oh, the Purana is also useless because you're glorifying Shiva, you're glorifying Devatas, and, you know, the Tamasic Puranas and worship Brahma and the Rajasic Puranas, etc. So people are all confused still. So they said, finally, this say, worship, everyone worship Krishna. That's all for Kali Yuga. So then he wrote Bhagavatam. So then Bhagavatam is the conclusion of all the other scriptures. Same knowledge, but in final form, condensed form. With the final, just as we have final conclusion of the Bhagavatam is the last verse, kirtan. So Bhagavatam is the conclusion of all the Vedas and Upanishads and Brahma Sutras and all the other Puranas and Mahabharata, etc. Final conclusion. So therefore, in that, we get the conclusion of Bhagavatam, kirtan again. So therefore, it's got scriptural authority. So it explains the highest realization of Krishna in the 10th canto, and it gives us the process, which is kirtan. Oh, I think we've... time's up. It's 9 o'clock. There's a sign here that says end at 9 with questions. Anyway, one question.
Hare Krishna, thank you Maharaj for your wonderful class. Regarding the topic of Bhagavad Marg versus Pancharatrika, yesterday I was overhearing a discussion between two devotees, and one was saying, and regarding the temple program, the morning program. So one was saying that it's all Pancharatrika with a pocket or with Bhagavad Marg inside it.
Okay.
And another was saying, no, Pancharatrika ends where the altar ends, and what everyone else is doing in the temple is Bhagavad Marg. And this has a lot of implications in terms of so many things, because there's rules for, or lack of, you know, in one and the other. So what is your opinion?
Well, we see that Lord Chaitanya's movement puts an emphasis upon kirtan, obviously, because it's following here the Bhagavatam, and the Bhagavatam is putting an emphasis on kirtan also, even though it's deity worship in 11th canto, etc. So we do have five elements of important main elements of bhakti, mentioned by Rupa Goswami. One is the kirtan, the other is shravanam, hearing like Bhagavatam. Now there's deity worship, and sadhu sangha, of course, and living in the dham. So the five elements there. And generally, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas do all five, or expanding that, we get the 64. But, you know, some elements of all five we do. So we don't reject any of the elements. But there is an emphasis upon the kirtan. That's the, as you know, yoga dharma and whatever. And we see, for instance, in Bhakti Sundarbha Jiva Goswami also says, yes, this is the main process, and all the others are support that process. So we chant the name of the Lord, that's our main process, and therefore it's our main sadhana. And then we have these things like seeing the deity, seeing the worship of the deity, mangalarti, etc. This isn't deity, this is a form of bhakti also. And that supports name. Why? Because some of us, we chant the name of Krishna and we can't think of anything. Oh, what is Krishna? What is it? Anyway, you have a nice form of Krishna, so that's Krishna. We can directly associate the name Krishna with the deity Krishna. So therefore, often we see that exalted souls also, they're doing chanting the name of the Lord, but they're doing it in front of the deity. So we have our Goswamis and others, they had deities also. So the two are the same. One is non-different from the other. Deity of Krishna is non-different from the kirtan of Krishna. And for sadhakas, of course, they're very, very, helpful for them, so that the name of Krishna doesn't become some abstraction, whatever, which it tends to be, you know, just some sort of sound, some sound in your brain. But actually, Krishna's a person, and so seeing the form of the Lord in the deity is helpful. So we mix elements of deity worship in there. So, of course, along with the deity worship, we do kirtan. We do kirtan all the time, along with the arti, etc., etc. And then, what is this? Shravanam, we're hearing. What are we hearing about? We're hearing about Krishna. So that's also not archana as such. So archana is there, but it's one element, and we do have the other elements as well. But as far as our sadhana is concerned, then a major element of our sadhana is also chanting Hare Krishna mantra. And we do our japa, 16 rounds, etc. So they're all there, but there's prominence given to the process of kirtan, and the power of kirtan is which we can say gives life to everything else we do. If we don't do that, then even the deity worship is not perfect. Or the sravana is not perfect. Even. Nothing is perfect without the kirtan.
Try to make a quick question. What we should refer when we chant Rama, the name Rama?
Well, that's explained. I think Gopal Guru has a Goswami, he has a little explanation. So Rama means one who gives pleasure. So who gives pleasure to Radha is Krishna. So it's again Krishna for us. Of course, other people might take it as Ramchandra or whatever, but then they have to take Hare, not as Radha, they have to take it as Sita, I guess, in that case. But anyway, we take it as another form, name of Krishna, like Radha Ramana, yeah, like that. So Rama means Krishna there. I think we have to end now. Hare Krishna.